Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now a 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
It's time for a history lesson here on Drive Time Sports. I'm looking forward to this conversation. The 1980 Oakland A's. They became a pop culture phenomenon. It's synonymous with success of the Oakland A's in the Bay Area. The 1980 season, it's when Billy Martin took over and took a team that was 54 and 108 in 1979 and turned them into instant winners overnight, basically, and also sparked, a lot of fame, including the great Ricky Henderson. Joining us right now to talk about the brief but interesting Billy Martin era with the Oakland A's, we have author Dale Tafoya. We're going to talk about his time around the Oakland A's and also his new book, Billy Ball, Billy Martin and the Resurrection of the Oakland A's. Dale, it is a pleasure to get you on the show today. Thank you for taking out the time to join us.
No problem, Jordan. Pleasure to be on your great show here.
Well, thank you very much. Let's talk about Billy Bull. Billy Martin and the Resurrection of the Oakland A's. I mean, this is really a team, and it's only a three-year span, and I think that's what makes this story so interesting. We're not talking about necessarily an entire era. We're talking about 3 years, but it did spawn a pop cultural phenomenon, and really it set up the Oakland A's for success in the late 80s. I think it's a fascinating story that really occurred in a short period of time, Dale.
Absolutely. And yes, Billy Martin will always be remembered as a Yankee, but Billy Ball is a story about Billy Martin coming home. Billy Martin was a West Berkeley boy, and it's Billy Ball is a story about Billy Martin coming home in 1980 and rescuing a very sick and unstable A's franchise. A's owner Charlie Finley, one of the great innovators of the game in the 70s, couldn't survive the economics of free agency, and the franchise was decaying badly in Oakland in the late 1970s. And Billy Martin arrived when the A's future was in limbo. In fact, Jordan, Lee McPhail, the American League president, even postponed printing the 1980 schedule because of the A's limbo. Yeah, so it's a tremendous story. And Billy Martin, of course, this flawed individual, but he just had an ability wherever he went, Jordan, to turn bad teams around and make them winning. And he did exactly that with his hometown team, the Oakland A's, and starting in 1980.
It's a great place to start here with this story because I want the listeners who maybe aren't too familiar to understand the situation that the Oakland A's were in back in 1979. I mean, they finished 54 and 108, and as far as attendance is concerned, they were averaging less than 4,000 per game. That's correct, right?
Absolutely. The A's drew less than 307,000 for season attendance in 1979. On April 17th, 1979, Jordan, the A's announced a crowd of 653 fans.
Wow.
653 fans. Insiders who were there actually said there were about 250 in there. So, yeah, the A's, Charlie Finley was trying to unload the team, and he was running the A's on a shoestring budget and wanted to bring some excitement, and he always flirted with bringing Billy on board intermittently since the 1960s. And this is what makes this story fun, Jordan, is that even when Billy Martin, he finished his career with the Minnesota Twins, but he held on in Minnesota as the coach. When he was coaching in Minnesota, he knew that Charlie Finley, who was in Kansas City with the Kansas City A's, was going to move the A's to Oakland. And Billy Martin from Minnesota was always eyeing being that manager of his hometown team. So even when Billy Martin finally came to manage the team in 1980, he knew what was at stake. He not only wanted to bring wins to Oakland, he wanted to bring the fans to Oakland to save that franchise there.
That's the real interesting aspect of the story because, as you mentioned, Charlie Finley, look, it sounds like the hiring of Billy Martin was based squarely on creating excitement, a brand of baseball that would bring people out so Finley could unload the team. I mean, that's really the basis of it, which is an interesting story in itself if we're going to talk about the business aspect of this team.
Absolutely, and you can argue that Finley does not unload the team to Walter A. Haas Jr., of the chairman of Levi Strauss, who purchased the team. The Haas family purchased the team and kept them in Oakland. Charlie Finley probably would have not unloaded the team unless he hired Billy Martin. And Billy Martin created so much interest in the area. And like you mentioned earlier, he made the Oakland A's into a mainstream pop culture phenomenon. I mean, the Time magazine featured Billy Martin with an A's cap on the front cover of their May 1981 issue.
Let's talk about some of the players on this Billy Martin era, this three-year span. One of my favorite players in a game of baseball that's just so interesting in general, it's Ricky Henderson. And we could have a whole show on Ricky Henderson. He's absolutely fascinating. But the Ricky Henderson that we know, one of the best base stealers in the history of the game, one of the best leadoff hitters in Major League Baseball history, that all became about under Billy Martin. So Ricky Henderson, to me, is really interesting in this entire story, Dale.
Absolutely. And even when Ricky went on to play for Billy Martin with the Yankees, and Ricky Henderson, he was never really comfortable in New York without Billy Martin being his manager. It started with that connection in Oakland in 1980. And you have to remember, Charlie Finley is the owner who drafted Ricky Henderson in 1976 out of Oakland Technical High School. And Billy Martin came in, and he was just the perfect manager for Billy Martin's aggressive style of base running. What he emphasized, it was the perfect style for Ricky Henderson. I mean, Ricky Henderson, his first full year playing in Oakland in 1980, he swiped 100 bases. Only Lou Brock and Maury Wills did that at the time. By 1982. Ricky Henderson swiped 130 bases in a season and shattered Lou Brock's all-time record. So, yes, the emergence of Ricky Henderson coincided when Billy Martin inherited that Oakland A's team in 1980.
Again, our guest right now is Dale Tafoya. He's the author of the new book, Billy Bull, Billy Martin, and the Resurrection of the Oakland A's. It hit bookstore shelves late March, so you can get your copy of Billy Bull right now. Let's continue to talk about this story in the 1980 season, Dale. It's a great memory for Oakland A fans, right, because you go from a 54-108 season to finishing above 500 in just 1 year under Billy Martin. You want to talk about a turnaround Cinderella story. I mean, that's that 1980 season.
Right, right. But here again, Jordan, Billy Martin did this everywhere he went.
Sure.
As I mentioned, when he finished his career with the Minnesota Twins, he hung on there for a coach. He got his managerial shot with the Twins in 1969. He resurrected them from the bottom. He went over after being fired. He was always fired these different places. But he went on after that to manage the Tigers. He resurrected them. Then he completely saved and resurrected Texas Rangers baseball in 1974. They were called Billy's Turnaround Gang in 74. Then he went on to manage the Yankees and brought the championship there in 77. And as you remember, October of 1979, George Steinbrenner, the plan was for Billy Martin to manage the 1980 Yankees. Billy Martin was supposed to manage the 1980 Yankees. But in October of 1979, he got into an altercation with a marshmallow salesman in Minnesota, and George Steinbrenner was concerned. He thought either Billy was going to either hurt somebody in a bar or get hurt in a bar. So for PR sake, he fired Billy Martin, and that's when Billy Martin became unemployed. And then Charlie Finley finally got an opportunity to hire him in February of 1980.
Again, Dale Tafoya, our guest right now, as we talk about his latest book, Billy Bull, Billy Martin and the Resurrection of the Oakland A's. So it's a great story in 1980. The A's finish above 500. 1981 rolls around. Billy Martin has more control over the team at this point in time. And really, had it not been for the strike-shortened season, who knows what would have become of this A's team.
Absolutely. I love talking about this 1981 season, Jordan. I mean, I love 80s baseball. And the A's started that season 11-0. At the time, that was the best start in baseball history. The A's went on to shoot to 17-1 and 20-3. And what's great about the Billy Ball story is not only the wins, but the crowds and the drawing power that Billy Martin had. Billy Martin connected so much with the working class in every city. In fact, owners really had to take into consideration before they fired Billy, the fans, because fans would protest after Billy would be fired, because Billy Martin was just, the fans always felt that he was a guy that you wanted in your corner. In 1981, the A's drew 1.3 million fans. That was one point, and that was minus 22 home dates that the 1981 strike took away. So yeah, the A's in 1981 owned the front cover, and of course the owners had this weird playoff scenario where there was a division miniseries, and after the A's beat the Royals in a three-game miniseries, they went on to face the Yankees in the American League Championship series, and reality hit them, and the Yankees swept them. But it was an incredible resurrection, not only in the standings, but attendance-wise. By 1982, the A's shattered the all-time franchise record by drawing over 1.7 million. And this is the club that lost 108 games in 1979 and drew less than 307,000.
For lighthearted baseball fans, I have to make sure we point out the five-man pitching rotation in 1980 for the Oakland A's, because it's a phenomenal story. We're talking about a five-man rotation: Mike Norris, Rick Langford, Matt Keough, Steve McCaddy, and Brian Kingman. A 1.4 ERA and 94 complete games between this group. I mean, it's a trivia question. It's almost unbelievable, especially with the way the game is played today.
Right. 90. Yeah, in 1980, the A's starting staff pitched 93 complete games. The A's reliever Bob Lacy completed number 94 in the last day of the homestand in 1980. Steve McCaddy pitched one game. He threw 150 pitches in one game in 1980. Four of the A's five starters pitched complete game 14-inning games. 14-inning games for the A's starters. So it was incredible. But you have to know that Billy Martin did not have a Goose Gossage as a closer with the A's. He had Bob Lacy. Bob Lacy led the team with six saves. And that's what Billy's philosophy. Billy, he wasn't into rebuilding. He wanted to win right now. He wanted to win right now, and he knew the best shot to win right now back then was for all of his starters to complete games, and they did. And here again, these starters, the Matt Keoghs, the Mike Norrises, the Rick Langfords, Steve McCaddies, Brian Kingman, they did not want to come out of the game. They were on the front cover of Sports Illustrated in 1981. They were used to playing in front of 500 fans in 1979. So they did not want to give up the limelight. They did not want to give Billy Martin that ball. They wanted to stay on that mound.
So you talked about being on the cover of Sports Illustrated in 1981. So going back to the 1980 season and looking at the big drop-off in 1982, I mean, I guess it's a fair criticism to say that Billy Martin really shortened some of the careers by the amount of usage that he gave them over the course of two seasons.
Yeah, you could say that. He gets a lot of flack for that. But the story, really the real-time story, when you go back in 1980 again, is these players were just unknown players in the late 70s. They were just trying to just survive in the big leagues. They were trying to find a place in the big leagues, and this was their shot. And as tired as their arms were and as the pitch counts mounted, they cherished every moment. They cherished the press. They cherished the attention. And they were riding the momentum, and they just did not want to come out of the game. And Billy knew that Billy wanted to win. And the best chance for Billy Martin to win was to have his starters pitch the whole game so he didn't have to use his bullpen.
Now, Dale, following the 82 season, Billy Martin makes his return to New York, and there was a lot of odd behavior in 1982, and I'm not sure if you addressed this in the book or not, but I am curious as to your opinion on the theory that Billy Martin almost purposely acted out of line so he could work his way back to New York. I mean, is there any truth in anything that you have covered that suggests that may in fact be true, that he purposely tried to sabotage his final season away from the field to get back to New York?
Yeah, well, some say that. In fact, Peter Goldenbach, who's written a lot of great books on Billy Martin, he told me that what happened was Dor Steinbrenner told him, hey, Billy, we have a spot for you to come back to the Yankees in 1983 to be our manager, but you're going to first need to be fired from the A's. And that's when they say Billy Martin, in August of 1982, him and some coaches roughed up his office, and it was at that point that we knew Billy Martin would not be returning to the A's. However, there are others that say that Billy Martin wanted to stay in Oakland. He wanted to continue to stay in his hometown. But the A's new owners, the Haas family, they were committed to rebuilding the club through the farm system. And it just wasn't really a good fit. And I think the best thing was what happened during the 1982 World Series is when the Haas family fired Billy Martin, and Billy Martin was able to rejoin George Steinbrenner and the Yankees for the 1983 season.
Fascinating. Again, it's Billy Ball, Billy Martin and the Resurrection of the Oakland A's. Dale Tafoya, our guest right now, he's the author of the book. Dale, one last question before I let you go. When you take a look at the landscape of the 3 years that Billy Martin spent in Oakland, how instrumental is it to what we saw at the end of the decade where the A's go to 3 straight World Series, they even win one against the San Francisco Giants? How instrumental were the 3 years under Billy Martin at the beginning of the decade in correlation to the end of the decade?
Great question, because Billy Martin when he took over the team, there was a lot of other movements that took place. He brought in scouts. He brought in Dick Wincek, one of his scouting leaders with Oakland. Dick Wincek was later instrumental in signing Mark McGwire as the 10th overall pick in the 1984 draft out of USC. Billy Martin brought in a scout named Camilo Pasquale, who played with Billy with the Twins. Camilo Pasquale in 1982 signed a third baseman at a Coral Park High School in Miami named Jose Canseco. And Billy Martin brought in Camilo Pasquale. And so, yeah, I think you can make an argument that Billy Martin set the foundation for what Tony La Russa inherited in 1986. He set the foundation for one of the premier farm systems in all of baseball, a farm system, Jordan, that brought Walt Weiss Rookie of the Year in 1988, Mark McGwire in 1986, and Jose Canseco. Actually, Canseco in 1986, McGwire in 1987, and Walt Weiss as the third consecutive Rookie of the Year in 1988.
Dale Tafoya, again, our guest right now. Dale, it was a pleasure to speak with you over the last 15, 16 minutes about Oakland A baseball. Before I let you go, please give the listeners all the information about Billy Ball, Billy Martin, and the Resurrection of the Oakland A's, and also where they can find more of your work.
Oh, yes. It's online. You can get it on Amazon, and it's all over the country. Bookstores aren't open right now, but you can get it online. And, yeah, the e-book selling, and there was some shipping issues with Amazon with the essentials, but I'm getting a lot of pictures on Twitter of books arriving, so it's available. It'll get you soon when you order it. It's just a really fascinating story about Billy Martin. Always remembered as a Yankee, but he came home and saved that Oakland A's franchise, his hometown franchise.
Dale Tafoya, once again. Dale, a pleasure to get you on. I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. Thank you very, very much for the time today.
My pleasure, Jordan. Take care.
Fascinating story. Again, Dale Tafoya, our guest here, giving us a history lesson on the Oakland A's. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports when we return live from the Auto Farm Studios.